Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
long
once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what
joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
A good morning to all, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this morning, Father, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with us and to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive, Father, unto the things we hear and see this morning here in your word, so that we can grow stronger and stronger in faith, Father, to go forth and to do the things that you would want us to do. Now, be with us, Father, throughout this study. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 14th chapter of Luke this morning. And there's quite a bit in it. It's not one of the longest chapters, but it's not one of the shortest either. It's 35 verses long, and there is a lot in it. Now, beginning here with verse 1, and it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. They're always watching him. Now, here in verse 2, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. Well, now, dropsy, you know, involves a lot of swelling due to a buildup of fluid in tissue and cavities. That's what dropsy is all about. Now, 3. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? 4. And they held their peace. They're not answering them at all. And he took him and heal him and let him go. And here in verse 5, Jesus then answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And 6. And they could not answer him again to those things. They could, but they won't. Now, 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them. Now these are the ones that were bidden to this feast, and how they was coming in. And he's given them a parable now. 8. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. 9. And he that bid thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. 10. For when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. Then when he that bid thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. In other words, what he's getting at is you don't exalt yourself. You don't stand on that selfish pride and exalt yourself. 11. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You see, we are never to think more highly of ourselves than we should. And if we are to be exalted or raised, let others do that, not ourselves. Now, 12. Then said he also to him that bid him, this is Jesus now talking, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. In other words, you don't do this so that you be rewarded back for that. And when you're doing this just for friends and those that are holding and being held in esteem, you're not going to get that reward, not from heaven. Now, 13. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. 14. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. You see, you call those that cannot repay what you are doing for them. But you'll get your reward at the resurrection of the just. And that is God's word. You see, it's not man, it is his word. You know, and the passage, this passage from 12 through 14 is found only in Luke. And it is surely not a command to refuse hospitality to friends and family and those who may be well off. But Jesus fellowships in such circles himself. Jesus rather issues the reminder. This is a reminder and a warning that it is incumbent on his followers to do good both to those that are lovable and the unlovable. You see, if the unevangelized and needy are to be reached, God's people must maintain ties with them and should want to do so for the gospel's sake. Jesus was known as a friend of sinners, and we are to be their friend. We don't associate and fellowship with them to the point of doing and going places where they go. But we don't shun them to never have anything to do with them. We don't like what they do that is wrong and comes from evil. But we are to love that brother or sister. Now, 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And that's true. When you make it into the kingdom of God, you are blessed. 16. Then said he unto him, Jesus, in answering him, a certain man made a great supper and bid many. 17. And sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have brought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Now, we find excuses like this today in our churches, don't we? And in our services. They are not with us because they have other things they want to do. And they'll make excuses that way. Well, I've just got to see to this. I've just got to do it. And they put that before the Lord God. They're not going to make heaven their home that way. They're going to be left out. Now, 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. But you see, none of these are really excuses to stay away from the Lord our God and his services and the study of his word. None of it. He tells us that he is subject to even call us to leave our mothers and our fathers and our wives and our children to go and do things. But I hear these excuses all the time. And a lot of them, even though I don't hear them, I see them at work. Now, 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Still room left. But he had done what the master has told him to do. And this is what we are to be doing. We are to be talking to others, trying to get them in with us in the study of God's word so that they can learn and begin to walk with and in the family of Almighty God and learn how to make heaven their home instead of being lost and staying out there in darkness. Let's help bring them to light. And that light being Jesus. And we do that through the study of God's word and the sharing of that. Now, verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them come in, that my house may be filled. In other words, he don't want a lot of things left over. 24. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Those first ones that made all them excuses, they're not going to get any of it. Think about that. When you want to deny and you don't want to do the work that is asked of us to do, you're not going to make heaven your home. And that's God's word. I've just read it to you. It came to us through other ways, but that was the meaning of it. Those that made excuses were left out and could not make it. They would never get to come in to that supper now because they'd made excuses to stay away. 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Did you hear that verse? I'm going to read it one more time. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We are to be the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're not going to make heaven your home. His word, not mine. I just read it to you. He's letting you know that you don't put your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, your wife, or no one before the Lord God. You don't use them to make excuses to stay out of the word of God. Not if you want to make heaven your home. Now, 28. He says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? You see, this is a parable again. 29. Least happily after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to molten. You count the cost of the things that you are up to, the things that you are planning on doing. And what is the cost? What is the cost of using excuses and not following the Lord Jesus Christ, not studying his word and doing what he tells you in his word to do, and picking things of this world in its place? Have you counted that cost? You've been told here what it will cost you. Have you counted that? Now, Thirdly, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Because, you see, didn't count that cost. 31. Or what king, going to make war against another king, setteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. That's a big difference, isn't it? That is coming against him. He's got twice for what he's got. 32. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambridge and desireth conditions of peace. He sending one to his enemy and asking for a consolation because he's now wanting peace, because he knows he can't win that battle. 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Does that mean I have to give away everything? No. but it means you have to be willing to do it if he calls you to do so. And if he calls you to go somewhere else, you are to leave where you're at and those with you and go to do what he asks of you to do. He'll not keep you away from your loved ones because, you see, you are to take care of them. But there are times that he will move you away from them for certain things. That's like when I was spent that first 3 years of my ministry as an evangelist. I'd be called away a week, 2 weeks at a time. I had to leave my wife and my children, my home, and go other places. Then when that would be over, I was back home with my family and my home until I would be sent somewhere else. And you see, I had 3 years of that. And then the Lord said, I'm going to make a pastor out of you and put you in one place. And he did so. Now, but it's what you are willing to do. A lot of times you may never be called to do anything else, but you've got to be willing. Now, So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. 34. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? You see, we have to obey Almighty God at all times. At all times. Now, 35. He goes on here with the salt and he says, when it loses its savor, then it's not really good. And he goes on here, 35. He said, it is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, let him understand. These things. We have come now to the end of chapter 14. We're going to stop here this morning. There's another one that's not too awful long. We will be getting into 15 and probably 16 this evening at 6 p.m., God willing. You know, think about what we have studied this morning. And take your Bible and reread it. And then you'll find that God will talk to you even more. But we all need to be walking in accordance with the word of Almighty God. I have a trip to make this morning, so after we close out, I'll be gone probably for an hour or so, and then I'll be back home. I'm always willing to talk to anyone about the word of Almighty God and to help them with questions that I can help them with. We're going to go now to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. Because, Father, it is this word that gives us life, that helps us to move forward out of this world and to be with you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will let us work for you here on this earth as you would ask of us. And you've given us everything we need, Father, to do whatever you call upon us to do. You gave us the Holy Spirit that gives us the power and the authority to do whatever you call upon us for. Now, Father, Israel and Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as the land of Jesus. And Father, this land of ours, a land that you had blessed so greatly. But Father, we allow those that are evil in the places of leadership that we should never have allowed them to obtain. And now, Father, I pray that all of your people that are here today are praying this same prayer, that are praying for them to be removed from office and replaced with those that belong to you, that are walking on the pathway of righteousness. Father, now help us to bring this land to repentance for the evil it has brought upon its own people, and for the churches that have grown weak in teaching things that are contrary to your word, that they repent, Father, and back into your word and the truth of your word. Now, Father, help each one of us this day to reach someone the word of God and to be able to share the Lord Jesus Christ. And keep us in health, and keep us safe through this day, Father, and bring us back together this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. Now, Father, I pray for all been sharing this Bible study with me. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy's husband Tom, Amy's son Jacob, Navi, Millie Johnson, myself, and Father, there's a young couple. That their eyes be open, and that they can see that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, so that they'll not be lost all, and that they can become your child to make heaven their home. And our families, we all have family members that are not walking in the light, they're walking in darkness. I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within our families through this day, bring them out of darkness and into the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, so that none are lost. And all will be able to make heaven their home. Now, Father, as we separate, keep us safe and bring us back together again at 6 p.m. Eastern Time this evening. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a great day. And I pray to be talking with you again at 6 this evening. Have a good one. Bye-bye now.